Marcel Somerville and Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio.
Remix Adamski, yeah? What are you trying to say to me, though?
That was a really, really big cover. Remake, should I say? A refix? What are we calling that? Cover sounds a bit YouTube-y, innit?
Walker's Killer is going to be 30 or is 30 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adamski, a future guest of the show, not just I'm putting it out there, he's been booked.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's confirmed.
That's big.
It's re-releasing like an EP with lots of people doing covers of it. Now, that one was Theo Zero and Mickey Blanco's cover. I guess cover. Would you say it's a cover?
Yeah,
it's
refix.
You'd have to, innit?
Yeah.
Refix. We're going to go refix, yeah? Make it sound more
modern.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, we don't want to call it covers.
Well, cover sounds ultra modern, doesn't it? Because it kind of makes you think of that kind of YouTube culture.
Yeah.
Of, you know, a lot of stars that we know now that are, you know, huge stars started just doing covers on YouTube.
It's true.
And I just think that, I don't know, I like to apply some difference to that and something like this, like, where they've proper gone to the studio
this is, yeah,
and
this
made
is like,
it something.
Yeah, something new yeah. out of something old.
I guess they do that with covers, but it's usually a ukulele, and I just can't stand the ukulele.
Yeah, and usually it's a cover over the same kind of beat or yeah. whatever it's going to be. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, they've redone a classic.
Boy George, there's a whole bunch of people. Boy George as well is on there. So it's different people reinterpreting okay. Killer.
That's it.
But it's on Adamski's EP for Killer.
Okay.
Wait. Four or five versions of it. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so it's an EP of the same song.
Yeah.
But different by multiple people. Like interpreted right. by different people.
That's pretty crazy.
That's incredible.
But produced by Adamski.
It's a big tune.
And they're all different vibes.
Yeah, all very different.
That's sick. I want to hear that. That's one of my favourite tunes from back in the day.
How could it not be?
I've just got that bit from the beat, that from the end. That like we can never sing. The lyrics are racism among future kings can only lead to no good. Besides, all our sons and daughters already know how that feels. Yeah. Love. But Seal sings it incredibly at the end of the original version.
Yeah.
And I can never replicate it. One day.
Seal is incredible.
He is.
What else is incredible is it's the Michael Marcel show this afternoon.
That's very true.
6 o'clock.
Yeah. And we got like the same amount of crazy games. Two crazy games. And
three would be so over the top crazy.
That'd be crazy.
Three games would be a madness. But we have got four lovely guests.
Four amazing guests.
Jermaine Douglas is coming in to join us to talk about his new music. Daniel Weber is coming in to join us. The Fly Hooligan and Manga St. Hilaire are all coming in to join us.
Yeah.
Talk about new music.
Yeah. Well, no, Daniel Weber's coming to talk about his new film.
Sorry, which is music to our ears.
Of course it is. With Daniel Radcliffe.
Harry Potter crew.
Also, because I haven't seen Harry Potter, but he's made some good choices.
Which Harry Potter haven't you seen?
Oh, none of it. I've not seen a single thing, not read a single page
That's
of the
crazy.
Book.
I'm okay with that.
But I did just watch Miracle Workers, which is the Daniel Radcliffe
Radcliffe show.
This is the greatest cleaning utensil ever.
See that on QVC, right?
Yeah, 2 a.m. The Radcloth.
Oh, yeah. Just $29.99 for a Radcloth.
Wipe down your whole house.
It's like a Harry Potter thing. It's like magic.
Yeah.
The Radcloth.
Daniel Radcliffe is in a series that I think it was on Showtime or could be HBO that was called Miracle Workers, where he is up in heaven. Steve Buscemi is God.
Oh, yeah, I saw that quite heavily advertised.
It's got Lolly Adaphobia in it, and it's got a whole bunch of other people, and it's made by, Lorne Michaels, who produces Saturday Night Live.
Right,
and it's very funny. Daniel,
he's got Steve Buscemi in it as well.
God,
it must be incredible. And Lolly Adaphobia.
It was going to be Owen Wilson, but he dropped out, so they brought in Steve Buscemi to play God, which is the right decision.
Yeah.
But Daniel Radcliffe has made some good choices, I think, post Harry Potter. I think he's done it deliberately. Stuff that you'd feel like, you know, could have just gone on to teen comedies and stuff, but it hasn't really
am I mistaken in thinking he went straight to stage from
he did Equus. Where he
was that his first gig afterwards?
I think
it might have been
a notable one.
I remember him doing was it Horns when he had the devil's horns
with Juno Temple. I've seen that film.
What, the new Hellboy?
No.
Imagine Daniel Radcliffe as Hellboy with his same build.
Like, I think he made the right choice in not actually doing another franchise straight after doing Harry Potter.
Yeah, true.
Because with no doubt, I feel like potentially he's got the level of acting status to get him into a Marvel or a DC film down the line.
I think it'd be too weird seeing him in Marvel.
I always puzzle over
the difference between magical powers and superpowers. And I always try to split each kind of power into things. So seeing Daniel Radcliffe my head would explode.
He's too magical.
He was magical, now he's super. But what's the difference?
Yeah, it's true.
Yes.
It's true.
We always catch up on what you've been up to this week.
That's very true.
Now, Michael Payne, you got an exclusive. It says an exclusive look from a Primark and designer collab. It says brackets Instagram story on Tuesday.
Wow.
So tell us details. More about that. A lot of details there.
Very mysterious.
When Natalie reads these things out, they sound like what boy them right when they're rescued.
The rap sheet.
She sounds like she's reading them in court. That's what it sounds like.
So on Tuesday.
Hey, Michael, you were...
I believe you were at that place. Can you confirm or deny you were, in fact, there?
I did have the privilege of going to see Bobby Abley's LFW, London Fashion Week collection, in central London yesterday. And the thing is, I'm not really a big fan of fashion, you know, in a general sense. I do like people who express themselves with a sense of style, but I'm not really into kind of following the latest trends and all that stuff. But Bobby Ablee is someone who I'm a fan of, so getting the opportunity to go see his new collection, which heavily features Minions, was sick. It was actually sick. I bought some of his stuff from... He collaborated with Looney Tunes. Mm. He's got a knack for collaborating with huge kind of sort of animation companies. And yeah, Looney Tunes was one that I was a big fan of. And he had a... What's the name of the Martian in the Looney Tunes one? You can't see his face and he's got the Centaurians kind of...
Yeah, he's got the Martin, the Roman kind of...
Is it? No, Martin, what's his name?
Martian.
Is it
Martin the Martian?
Fact check on that guy's
I think
name.
It is, yeah. Martin the Martian.
Is it? Okay. It's something like that. I'm sure it's some play on the fact that he's a Martian, but... It had him like emblazoned on the back, and it reminded me of. Do you remember back in the day, Marcel?
Well, Iceberg History.
Yes, there he is.
Come on, G.
Right on schedule.
Come on, G. Do you know what happened? Like Iceberg History done their thing, and everyone wanted Iceberg. Everyone wanted it.
To the point where you could just buy Looney Tunes stuff and still be a swagger don.
Yeah, but this is the thing. And then I think Iceberg must have lost their branding kind of like connections, and then.
That's just a lamp falling outside. Wow. That's how shocking. That's, Marvin. That, Marvin the Martian.
Yeah.
Marvin the Martian.
Marvin, not Martin. That's why the lamp fell down.
And then, do you remember?
He used his little alien ray to shoot.
I'm Marvin. How dare you?
And then around the time when academics and all that was massive, like a brand called Lot 29 got the branding rights to all of the Looney Tunes things, and they started doing it with them.
Yeah, of course. I heard somewhere in the grapevine that Lot 29 was owned by the Clips, by Clips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pusha T and Malice. I heard that it was, but I could be wrong. I could be misinformed, but yeah, I heard that they kind of own that brand.
Okay.
Have you been? You must have been to London Fashion Week.
I went to London Fashion Week. I went to a party which was held by Love Magazine last year, but then the year before I was at it with someone.
Okay.
Previously.
Marcel.
Yes.
It was Valentine's Day last Friday, and you surprised your girlfriend on the latest YouTube video of Life with Emma.
Yes.
Yep. Tell us more.
Yeah, so basically it was Valentine's Day, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make this Valentine's Day. It's like she doesn't know anything's going down, but I'm just gonna like do like a bunch of different things while she's gone out to get her lashes and all that kind of stuff done. Like got her a bunch of presents, flowers and all that kind of stuff, balloons and all that kind of stuff. Had it set up so when she came in, she was shocked. Like, you know what I mean, you're getting the points. And I'm not really a big like when it comes to Valentine's Day. Like I don't really like go over the top because like the majority of the time I've never really been in relationships at Valentine's Day,
right?
Do you know what I mean?
Convenient.
So yeah, some may say convenient, but like this year I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do a thing, now I mean do a surprise thing as well, like cooked her dinner. Obviously I done come down, me burnt my wings, but luckily I didn't burn any food this time round. And it all went down really nicely. So yeah, I done my thing.
Would you say you're a romantic though?
Do you know what I am? I have got romantic tendencies. Like I'm very much like I grew up on those films like Pretty Woman and like all those like The Bodyguard and all that kind of stuff. So like I feel like romantic moments are necessary in life.
Yeah.
To just have that, like, you know what I mean, just feel that. Oh.
But you must have had a warped kind of view of it, because like then you must have thought all relationships have to involve either a sex worker or a client that you would die for.
Yeah, pretty much. That's basically what my life's been based around. Do you know what I mean?
So that's a lot.
It's deep, but...
But both great fucking films, to be fair.
Great films.
The best.
It's amazing
great
what you
films.
Can kind of apply romance to, innit?
Exactly.
I was talking about The Bodyguard today. I was reminiscing on that film. It's a...
That
really?
Film's a serious film.
Yeah. It's amazing.
The bit when they go to the log cabin and like he's rolling through the woods and he's like, he closes his eyes because his hearing is that good that he can be like, like, yo, come on, man.
It's Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner.
He dances with wolves. Come on now. Yeah. Like,
hey, no, but I was talking about the other day. The greatest rom-com guy is Patrick Swayze.
Do you think he's better than Kevin Costner?
Ghost and Dirty Dancing.
Ghost and Dirty Dancing.
Actually, wait.
That's strong, but Tom Cruise?
Would you call
those rom-coms? Tom Cruise? Hell no.
This is the thing. I don't think they're rom-coms.
No, I wouldn't say rom-com. I just mean romantic film.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing something.
No, Tom Cruise.
The greatest
cocktail.
Of all time.
No, Tom Cruise.
Wait.
Tom Cruise is not the guy when it comes to romantic films.
Richard Gere
is a boss.
An officer and a gentleman and Pretty Woman.
Can anyone hear me?
I'm talking about Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, but are we talking about rom-com specifically or romantic
films? Romantical films.
All right.
It's Valentine's, guys. Come on, let's embrace that
moment. Romantic films, I think Kevin Costner's got it.
For what? Name
for what? The Bodyguard. And
that's all you need.
That's it. No, you can't just say on one.
No,
film.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
What are you talking about?
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
That's an action movie. That is an action movie with romantic tendencies. Bruv, I'm letting you know. Guys,
romance in that
Patrick
film.
Swayze.
There's romance in
Patrick
that
Swayze,
film.
Dirty Dancing. The guy dances. He teaches a girl how to dance, catches her in the air, in water. Are you mad? Yeah. And then Ghost, he's dead. And he's still getting the loves. He's still getting the love, pushing the little peas.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
She don't want to move on, even
That's
though he's dead,
saying.
Right? She's still
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
No,
That's what I'm saying.
Patrick Swayze,
He's saving her from this bad guy when he's dead. Yeah. He's not even alive.
He ain't even responsible for you anymore.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying? Matt. Okay. Tom Cruise.
No, I was trying to think, like, Top Gun. Not really now. Cocktail. Maybe not. He's definitely done a rom-com. Come on now. Jerry Maguire. Yeah.
No, not rom-coms, romantic films.
Or just romantic. He's always getting the girl, isn't he, in every film?
He's more just massaging his action. You know what I mean?
And
okay.
then there's
hey,
a
I'm
interest.
Tom Cruise. Like, I'm doing something really heroic.
Yeah.
But there's a girl that fancies me.
True.
Patrick Swayze is doing it for the girl.
This is true.
That is true. What else is true is every week there's a new announcement with All Points East, but I'm excited. As you know, it's taking place Victoria Park, 22nd of May to the 31st of May.
Cannot wait.
First festival of the season. We already know loads of people have been announced. Tame Impala Day at the moment, because it's someone I think we're all going to love. I'm going to play him in a minute. So we know that Tame Impala's headlining. We already knew that Caribou, Amazing, and Glass Animal was there. But Lapsley,
my G,
who was in here on Harriet Rose's show a few weeks ago, but Marcel, you're also a big fan of her
big
work.
Fan.
She's been announced. Also, do you remember the Avalanches? The Australian Since I Left You, Frontier, so who were around for a while. They've just been announced as well. Well, you will definitely know, and I'm going to play their song in a minute, but they've just been announced as well. And they don't really do a lot of live dates at all. So that is like probably the...
It probably takes long to get down from the Manning, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, hold on. Kevin Parker, is he not Australian as well?
I meant Avalanches.
Oh.
Let's move on.
Okay. I thought you meant from Australia being the other side of the planet.
Right.
But also, yeah, the Kooks, Tom Walker, Jake Bugg, lots of other people have been announced. And there's going to be like a free community midweek entertainment with live music and cinema and stuff to go down there in Victoria Park.
Oh, sick.
And tickets are on sale from this Friday, actually, at 10 a.m. allpointseastfestival.com/tickets.
Better go get those tickets, people.
It's a very good lineup. Oh, we also forgot like Grandmaster Flash, other people that have been announced that are performing.
It's
that
on my birthday this year as well, 22nd of May.
Happy birthday.
In advance.
See you in a park.
Yeah.
Yes. In advance, happy birthday for them. See you in the Victoria Park.
Just in case you forget on the actual day.
Do you know what? I've actually put everyone's birthday in my calendars to remind me, because I'm sick of being like, oh, I forgot. Whoops. It's nothing worse than forgetting.
Oh, shit. The Kooks are headlining as well.
Yeah, the Kooks. The Wombats as
Jake
well.
I haven't seen Jake Bugg live for a while.
He's back. So it's a very, very good lineup. I'm still hoping to see Beck's name there. Because he's doing a gig at Brixton. And I really want to go and see it.
Prison or the Academy?
The Academy. But I have looked. I think I'm prepared to pay. It's £54 a ticket to go for Brixton, which seems fairly steep to me.
Why do they always do these weird ticket prices? Why not just 50?
Yeah,
54, 55.
You know when you calculate to the exact pound how much money you want to make from that gig? You're like, all right, cool. Ticket's going to be £54 then.
I'm thinking in my head for £50, like, I want him to be there for 4 hours, like a Prince level
54
set.
Hours.
Prince would do, like, they used to kick him out of Electric Ballroom. So they'd be like, we have to go home now, so do you. I'm hoping that Beck would do a long... I don't want to see 90 minutes of Beck for that.
Those kind of ticket prices, you need to be getting, like, a good couple hours.
At least 2 hours.
Do you know what I mean?
At least,
meet
right?
and greet.
Yeah, I need to... Also, a duet on stage.
Yes, the opportunity to duet
and I also
with Beck.
I need to be the support act.
Get a music video made with Beck.
Yeah, I need to support him, go on stage for a duet, be in a music video afterwards... and see him play for 5 to 6 hours. And that's okay. And then go for a pint afterwards.
Fair. Yeah. Maybe
that's
marriage.
Sorted. Oh, well, yeah, maybe marriage
maybe
as
marriage
well, right?
All for an extra
things.
£4.
Yeah, you know what? I'll pop a £5 down for that. It's fine. Treat myself.
Call it an even 60.
Anyway, so I'm hoping that he, because he is on all points, he's got headliner to me all over him.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I'm waiting to see what happens there, and then I will lose my shit. Anyway, our first guest of the day is waiting in the wings, in fact, next door in the green room. So let's play something by the Avalanches so you can be familiar and see how good they are.
Yeah.
And then we'll get
them
into the studio.
That. That was kind of dreamy. Very dreamy.
That's very much what they sound like.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the Avalanches.
Summer's
then,
day, or
case.
Even a rainy day.
Yeah,
Avalanches on stage doing that. Yeah,
I'm
and that's
sold.
The Wizard of Iz.
Yes,
with Danny,
nice.
Brown.
Danny Brown.
With Danny Brown, yeah, nice. Yeah. I love them.
I'm not surprised. Where did you, do you remember where you first heard about them?
Yeah, I just remember they were DJs. I think they were DJs for a while, and it was like, but nobody really knew who they were. And then their first album came out. And I feel like if you heard Since I Left You, you'll definitely know right. the track, because it was everywhere. And then they've just, they don't really appear a lot live, and they don't really release a lot of stuff. So it's kind of a big thing when they do put an album out or something.
Fair play. Mm. I get a feeling they don't play a lot of like festivals like Snowbombing and whatnot.
I don't know if that would...
Skiing festivals and that. Because if you sort of... The presenter sort of screams out their name.
The Avalanches. So yes,
definitely
yes.
In there.
Got it that time.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
I was
wow.
giving you an opportunity to redeem yourself.
Wow.
No, but you had to explain it again, so I'm really letting the thing whole thing down today.
Well... That brings us nicely. Speaking of Avalanches, yeah.
Let's see how you're going to do this.
Where's the segue going?
Come on now.
Our next guest isn't a mountain to nothing.
That was terrible.
That was terrible.
You can literally say our next guest has the vocal range to create.
Range is good.
His
mountain
own
range.
Avalanche.
Perfect.
Yep, there we go.
Thank you for having me.
No, not at all, brother. Not at all. Thank you for coming through. Looking very suave and debonair.
Very, very swaggerish.
Thank you very much. As are you, Jude. Three.
Like,
thank you, Jermaine.
You're looking. You know, you're looking very. Not Diddy. You're looking very Puff Daddy. And there's a difference.
There is a difference.
There's a difference between looking very Diddy and looking very Puff Daddy. And Puff Daddy's better, I reckon.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean?
For real. That's 100%.
What is he now?
It's like hypnotized.
He's Diddy now, isn't he? That's hypnotized time.
Daddy Love or something. So,
Daddy Love.
He changed it to something like that, innit?
He did say that, didn't he?
I'm not Diddy anymore. I'm Brother Love or something like
something
that.
Like that.
It was something along them lines.
I think he changed his name to Brother Love, but no one took him seriously.
No one took him seriously.
I think people still just call him Diddy. Because his Instagram and all his socials are still just Diddy.
Man.
Do you know what I mean?
He's only just done it. In February, in fact, it's now Love.
It's just Love. His name's Love. Now. Do you remember the basketball player Ron Artest changed his name to Meta World Peace? Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
No.
Yeah.
Meta World Peace. I didn't know that he changed. I just kept, because I've only known him as Meta. Well, not I know him.
Did you not know about Ron Artest?
I had no idea. I just thought, well, that's, you know, he's got hippie parents. That's quite nice.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice name, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think he was like quite, he was known for being a bit of like a, like basically a bit of a bully on the courts, and then so it was like quite ironic that he changed his name to Meta World Peace. I think he kind of had a bit of an epiphany and decided to kind of tone it down a little bit,
break the curse, change the name. Yeah.
I noticed it was only after he'd retired though.
Yeah.
But how are you, Jermaine?
I'm still Jermaine.
Yeah.
I'm blessed, I can't complain.
Yeah. Just releasing a 6-track EP and about to go on tour.
Yes.
About to release a vodcast.
Well researched, I like this.
About to play a big gig at Quaglino's, which I know people are going to be dressed up as well as you for.
It's a gig
with Che Chesterman.
It's next Wednesday, isn't it, that you're doing?
Yes, on my birthday, actually, on the 26th.
Oh, nice.
February.
Is this the first time you've played on your birthday?
Second time, actually, yes.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a good idea to do it again.
What was the first time like? Well, was it just a gig falling, happening to fall
last time
on your
it was
birthday?
For my birthday.
Nice.
Because I don't usually celebrate. I'm one of those people that just do nothing.
Yeah. I think we're a bit like that.
Yeah, definitely. I've celebrated one birthday in my whole life. I was 10.
Really? 10?
And it wasn't even me. My parents threw me
a
party.
Was it a traumatic experience?
It wasn't traumatic. Do you know what? I think it was. I think that was when I realised I'd never wanted people en masse in a place where I live. Seriously, I think that's
people
when
people just
I...
rob things and they just take things.
Or just, you just feel, do you know what it is? I think at the very base level, you just feel really panicky and nervous because people are where you live, and you can't keep eyes on everyone. Even when if someone goes toilet, you're just like, why do you need to go to toilet? Do you know?
That's
the
thing that always breaks at parties at your house is the toilet seat. I don't know why.
The toilet seat breaks at multiple
it's
parties.
It's always something in the toilet or the bathroom that goes first. That is actually true.
No, I have broken a toilet seat before.
I've broken a sink.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you why, how it happened.
Luke Pritchard from the Cooks, I broke his sink.
Hold on, sorry. You've broke a toilet seat before.
Yeah.
But you don't want to say how it happened.
No.
I mean, that was okay. And Michael Payne, you have broke a sink at Luke Pritchard's house from the Cooks.
Yeah.
But do you want to say how that happened?
No.
Fine, okay. Where have you broke something?
I haven't broken anything yet.
Mark Ronson's apartment, I don't know. Where have you? You don't want to say
I'm a good guest.
I stole a gold toilet from Blenheim Palace one time.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
Do you think with birthdays as well, I hate en masse any people more than... I just don't want to be... Don't sing happy birthday, please. It's really awkward, I think, when loads of people... And you have
what,
to,
just singing at place.
You? I hate
it. I revel in it. I revel in it. I have 3 birthdays. I have 3 parties for my birthday.
Celebrate for the whole week.
You know what I mean? Just so people can sing my birthday to me on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
To feel love. To feel some kind of love.
See, I tried to do that and they didn't turn up to my birthday.
Oh.
We went to the cinema and no one came.
What?
So I just watched Notorious B.I.G. by myself.
That's pretty big.
Sounds good.
That's
like
my
18th.
It's a good birthday, though.
So that's my trauma. So now I just do it at my shows now instead.
Fair play.
But next Wednesday, when you have your gig, it's a great venue as well, Quaglino's. I've been there a few times and it feels, it's very decadent and very glamorous in there, I think.
She wore a chinchilla
and can't beat
every
food,
time.
Food and music.
Yeah, a live chinchilla. people really get dressed up to go to dinner and to have a cocktail. But you must be having some people along next week for your birthday to the gig as well.
Let's see who comes. Hopefully.
Can we expect to see any of the people you've worked with, like Nicole Scherzinger or I don't think Stevie Wonder. Maybe.
Stevie Hopefully.
Wonder's you never know with Stevie.
Sick, though.
You've worked with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes,
tell us
randomly.
On what?
I mean, it was through the charity One for the Boys, which is male cancer, and he's the face for it.
Right.
And my friend Sophia does the things, and we just ended up being friends. And he did it for free. Stevie Wonder and Samuel Jackson did the things for free, so it's good to see the community supporting each other. But that was the biggest blessing, was for free.
Yeah, yeah.
That's dope. That's dope.
How do you kind of... is Samuel L. Jackson a sweary in real life? In
it's actually
sort of
really
normal
like
conversation?
Calm and collected.
Yeah.
And the first time I met him, he pulled out his chair and said, "Would you like a seat?" Which I didn't expect.
Yeah,
just very polite. Very
was he
polite.
Wearing his Kango hat at the time?
Yes, he was.
Mind blowing.
That's dope. That's
that
mad.
Are you sure it was Samuel Jackson?
But he's really humble and
would
doesn't
you
age
like
a day.
Seat? It was like a Samuel Jackson robot.
But he's actually older than Stevie Wonder, but you wouldn't realise.
What?
Like he looks exactly the same.
What?
No,
I know,
he does,
right?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I believe so. Yeah.
Samuel is older than Stevie
Wonder. Samuel.
Uncle Sammy.
One of the highest paid.
Isn't he in like. Hasn't he been in like over 200
so,
or
yeah.
something crazy like that?
Stevie Wonder, I think, is still in his 60s, right? Samuel Jackson is 71.
Wow.
Stevie is 69.
That's mad.
A couple of years.
Cheeky
yeah.
Stevie.
That's my wiki knowledge right there.
Yeah.
Well done, well done.
So, with the EP, that's out at the
yes,
moment.
Yes, Orb. Yes, out now.
And what was the sort of, what was the thinking, what was the reason behind
the inspiration?
It's kind of like, I wanted to step into being an independent artist because I'm used to being signed to labels, but as an ethnic artist coming from a show like X Factor, like your control is just out of the window, like you don't get any look in, all the doors are closed.
Were you signed to Psycho?
I was signed to RCA underneath,
right.
But Psycho's still attached to you because you're from, they still get their cut.
Sony, yeah.
The big cup.
Yeah. So this is your first release post major label life.
I had a second album with a label, and I was their first artist.
Yeah.
And now this is me. I wrote all the songs, all six tracks, doing it all by myself with my best friend as my manager out there.
Wicked.
And shout out to Kane.
Is that a new situation? Your best friend being your manager.
I just wanted to let everything go and start from scratch.
Yeah.
So I realized I wasn't in the circles that are for me. You need to have the people that see your vision. Mm. And not try and put their vision in place of yours.
Yeah.
And it's been a hard journey, difficult. The X Factor stigma is a savage one to come off the back of, especially if you are like a soul singer or of any ethnicity. It's just, if you're not supported by a Psycho, it's almost like end of the road. But I'm fighting back.
Yeah.
I'm coming back.
Thing, brother.
Yeah. Well, it seems
we're
like
trying.
You're super busy, man.
Yes.
You know, with all those things that we've we've listed that you're up to. We should actually just hear some music, shouldn't
yes.
we?
Yes.
Music.
Would you do us the honour of introducing this song
yes.
for us?
Yes. This is, I think, the third track from my EP, and it's called Fool.
I thought that we were in love. We had more than what you said. Now what do I do? Ooh. With all the lies you told, how do I carry on with all you've taken from me?
This ain't funny, not even slightly. Amusing. The deception has surely got me.
I'm a fool. Such a fool for you.
Yeah, that's a vibe still.
Very big vibe. Very big vibe. That's,
thank you.
No, go on, sorry.
What's wrong? Is it because I'm not wearing my headphones?
It just looks the oddest way. When we had Swindlin not that long ago, and he wore headphones around like his forehead.
Yeah, like you'd put your sunglasses.
And we put a clip out on social media and someone said, that's the worst way I've ever seen anybody wearing headphones.
But you're, well, they were on your head.
No, they were kind of... Do you remember Star Trek?
The guy from Star Trek. Like,
Captain Kirk.
For some reason, that actually really suits you. I don't know. Why?
For the next guest, would you just wear your head? But don't.
Captain Picard.
Don't explain it. Captain Picard. Just go and get a photo, come in, and just wear your headphones like that for the whole
thing. Enterprise.
It's like something from the X-Men or something.
It does. Cyclops. Yeah, you do look like Cyclops, for real. That's incredible.
Michael, you're wearing your headphones like sort of hanging off one, not even hanging off just one.
Like,
it's
I'm wearing my headphones like a phone.
Oh,
isn't it?
No, it's a DJ thing.
You've got a beat set.
That's what I said. Old school reggae DJ thing.
So you can hear the people shouting. Yeah.
Gonna play some Gregory Isaacs.
Okay, well, we are gonna play a game.
Yeah.
So maybe you're at an advantage here. Don't pop your headphones on then. You definitely won't win this.
Okay. No, I will listen to the music.
Okay. So you have got a song called Better For You.
Yes.
I want to know. That's a one true point. Story. One point, correct.
One point.
Is that true or false? I want to know which one of these artists is better for you in terms of YouTube subscribers. So which one is better, not necessarily for you, for them, because they've got higher YouTube subscribers, okay? So write down, so it's two artists, write down which artist you think has higher subscribers on YouTube.
How many is there, one or six?
Okay.
There's five and a bonus. Okay. Five and a bonus. Let's start with number one.
You're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Time flies, close your eyes, come with me.
Are we doing a song or is it the artist?
The artist. And weird that we have already mentioned Love, as in Puff Daddy, P. Diddy.
This is true.
Brother Love. Weirdly. So Stormzy or Puff Love.
Is this total of all of their videos?
Puff Diddy Pop, like Ben Stiller calls him.
Puffa Diddy Pop.
Puffa Diddy Pop, or whatever you're calling yourself these days.
No, it's this artist rather than track. As a whole,
all of their songs.
Everything they've done, everything on their YouTube channel is a collective. Just them as an artist on YouTube.
Views, yeah.
Views.
Okay, cool.
No,
yeah.
Subscribers.
How many subscribers do they have to their YouTube channel?
Oh, subscribers.
Channel?
Subscribers, not views.
Just subscribers.
Just, yeah. I feel like I'm saying the same thing.
And it's Stormzy and...
Purely people who subscribe to their channel.
Yeah. Just YouTube.
How many subscribers they got?
Yes.
This is a trick
so what,
question.
Are we talking people who have gone onto the platform where you watch...
They haven't watched... Okay, it's right. This is what happens.
And click the subscribe
button. Someone
has gone to
YouTube. Maybe they watch Big For Your Boots. Maybe they watched all of Stormzy's videos. They don't count unless they click that subscribe button.
The subscribers that they've got.
I feel like this is a trick question.
Do you know what I just realised, Jermaine?
It's not a trick.
It's people who are subscribed.
Oh my God, just so you know, it's not views, it's subscribers.
Subscribers.
Okay, we've all got that. I know it's tricky, but Stormzy or
Puff
Daddy.
I thought it was Diddy, not tricky.
What's happening?
We're playing games.
I feel like it's a trick question.
It's
not a trick question. It's not a trick question.
No, I mean like the people that are actually like Stormzy and Puff
Think
Daddy.
About it, like who would subscribe to that channel? I mean, I don't know. Are you subscribed to Puff Daddy's channel?
No,
because he's called Love now, so it wouldn't even exist, would it?
But he's been out for years.
Exactly. He's been around for a long time, Stormzy less so, but he's very popular.
But the younger generation's online now.
They love a bit of YouTube.
That's true.
Okay,
so now we move on to number two.
Don't ask me because I don't know why. But it's like that.
Okay.
And that's the way it is.
Run DMC. Yep.
In the world to a brand new girl I don't even know yet.
Or Wiley.
She's wearing my Rolex.
So Run DMC or Wiley, yes. Who has YouTube gone to Run DMC's page, click subscribe, same with Wiley.
This is actually hard.
Most? It is hard. Not a trick though. Once again, subscribers, not views.
Have Run DMC actually got a YouTube?
Yes, they have.
Good question.
It's not that.
They had their own reality TV show, didn't they?
Exactly. It's not a trick in that all of these people have a YouTube channel. They're not like. No, sorry, they don't have one, obviously. Okay, here's number three.
You'll put your number on this paper because I would love to date you. Holla at you when I come on top. Pulling down the street, smoking and sipping on gin.
They changed the hook at the very end to just biatch.
Yeah, right. Jay-Z or Snoop Dogg, Snoop Lion, whatever you want to call him. I'm calling him Snoop Dogg though.
He was a part of the 3D thing, isn't it? He started the 3D thing on YouTube. He was like the debut artist for it.
Who? Snoop Dogg?
3D, okay.
Sir. I think 3D what?
Do you know what I mean?
The, like the multiple camera thing.
Oh, okay.
I
didn't know. 360. Okay, okay. I'm going to go with what he's saying.
Dawn Richards and Snoop Dogg, that's right.
Interesting.
Now he just gets high with Martha Stewart. Snoop Dogg. I love that about him.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh.
I think it was it Miley Cyrus? No, who was it? I'm sure it was Snoop. We'll fact check this, but I'm sure she said she quit weed because Snoop said that she could smoke him under the table. I'm sure that's what happened. I definitely remember saying that she stopped smoking weed. It was him.
She
or
stopped
Seth
smoking
Rogen.
Weed because Snoop.
Because he was like, "God, you smoke a lot of weed, okay? Like you smoke."
Oh wow,
a lot of weed.
And is that video
it was
on
him
YouTube
or Seth Rogen? Sorry,
is that video on YouTube?
No, unfortunately, that's not part of his collection okay. on YouTube.
So that's less subscribers.
Are we ready
now
for number four? Number four?
Yeah.
Nathan's here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose.
Give me that loose.
Keep fucking around with me and turn me back to the old.
Travis Scott or Dr. Dre, who has more subscribers?
This is hard, you know.
To exactly. I mean, it's just guesswork, isn't it? Really? I don't know, though. Dre, again, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, big videos, iconic videos. Dre, isn't yeah. he? So people
but he's not
that,
the YouTube generation.
It could be, but it could be. Okay, finally for now, number five.
One love for the mother's pride, one love for the times we cried, one love, gotta stay alive. So nod your head and break your back, nigga. Break your back, nigga.
Wow.
I know.
Blue or Busta Rhymes?
Blue or Busta Rhymes, who has a.
Really hard.
This is a hard
very
one.
Hard, very, very hard.
This is a very hard
I haven't
one.
Enjoyed
especially
any
if you're wearing
these.
Your headphones like a phone. It's probably even harder for you to hear that clip.
A phone on loudspeaker.
Okay, should we get some answers?
This is hard.
Oh, wait, there was only five.
There's
right?
five, and there's a bonus winner Sweet. Takes all, don't worry. Jermaine, right. What have you got? Stormzy or Puff Daddy?
I put Stormzy.
Okay.
Because he's a game changer at the moment.
Okay.
I put Stormzy
yeah.
as well.
What did you put?
Put Diddy.
You should have put Stormzy.
I know I should have. I was trying
Stormzy.
To be.
Mars and Jar, you got
edgy.
A point each there. Run DMC or Wiley? What did you all get?
Run DMC.
I put Run DMC.
I okay. put Wiley.
Should have put Run DMC. I should tell you actually, well. Sorry. Puff Daddy has got 290K and so Stormzy's got 1.48 million.
Right.
Wiley's got 219K. Run DMC have 290K.
Okay.
It's going to be a ballpark. Jay-Z or Snoop? Who did you put?
Jay-Z. Uh-huh.
Snoop
is yeah. correct. First
is
point there. It
yeah.
is Snoop.
It's got to be Snoop.
Okay, it's because he's got his own platform, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z's right. got 2.21 million. Snoop has got 5.9 million.
Mm.
Travis Scott or Dr. Dre?
100% Travis Scott.
Travis Scott.
Yeah, you're all right. Travis Scott, that is correct.
Don't you open up that window.
But Dr. Dre's probably rich, all right?
3.3. He's probably, yeah, probably.
Yeah, considerably
why?
Richer.
He's what? These
could you help noticing that I'm considerably richer than you?
Thank you.
That's Dr.
The maker
Dre to Travis
of,
Scott.
Michael Payne's headphones,
yes.
telephone headphones
See?
That he's wearing.
We've got the money in the room.
Dr. Dre has 3.7 million and Travis has 7 million.
Right.
Okay. Finally, for now, Blue and Buster.
Blue.
I put Buster.
I put Blue.
Blue is correct. Okay. Blue is correct. Buster
five
has
out of five, motherfucker.
Hold on. No, it's right. Okay. Buster. I'm sorry, I thought it was going to say million, though. I thought that would be ridiculous. 51.3. I thought it was million. 51.3 million. No,
wow.
He hasn't. 51.3 thousand. But Blue have 457,000.
Wait, how many has Buster Rhymes got?
51,000, not million.
51,000? Buster Rhymes?
Yeah.
Rap legend. Buster Rhymes.
But you've got to think of it like this. You've got to think about it.
With some of the most entertaining rap videos of all time, coming second only to Missy Elliott.
Buster Rhymes, they must have spelled it wrong, it must be, they must have spelled it B-U-S-T-E-R, but you gotta think of it
that
like
can't
this,
be the real
Buster
Rhymes. That's Buster Bimes. That's who he is. It's Rasta
right.
Bimes.
Buster ain't
fake.
Been active though.
It's fake.
I mean, Buster hasn't been active on nothing.
Blue hasn't had something, but
Blue is like it's still you.
I refuse to believe that Buster Rhymes only got 51,000.
Yeah.
But you still, you put Blue sorry. Though, still.
51.3 for Buster, thank you.
That's sad.
It is sad. But what isn't sad is
in
joint second
though.
Place, we've got Michael Jermaine with three. Five.
Oh, someone
got there. I wouldn't trust my maths, but I would. But don't worry, because we have a winner-takes-all situation.
Wait, no, you didn't say Apple. Five, Marcel.
Five, Marcel.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
You put yeah, well, next to yours.
I did. Put it all on the line, bro.
Well, we lay it on the line here.
I'm about to put it all on the line.
for the final one. So, you know, everything to play for, you could still win here. Let's go for this.
Welcome to Miami.
Will Smith.
Will Smith or 50 Cent? Tricky
Will
again.
Smith is active. Like, I've watched
active.
A lot of his videos.
Very active.
Super active.
Very active on social.
And who was the second person?
50 Cent. Again, yeah, but yeah, very active. He's always asking people to go and collect the money off him. He's very active on his Instagram for calling.
Yeah, exactly. That's Insta. But I think Will Smith's got more shit that
he has got.
Will Smith's document like his little things that he does.
Yeah, 50 Cent is for fun.
Yeah, it's true. Will Smith does a lot.
YouTube shit.
But who are you putting then? I need. And write it down and show me. So there's no cheating. What you have on your bit of paper. Okay. So, Michael, Jermaine, you have got Will Smith. Marcel has 50 Cent. Marcel still wins!
Yes. He just tripped us in touch.
Yes!
Because Will Smith has got 7.8 million and 50 has got 8.8 million.
Do you know how jokes 50 Cent is on YouTube?
What, 50 Cent?
I never knew
it was on YouTube. This is 50 and all of that kind of stuff. It's all his things, isn't it?
What's the show that he did? Is it Powell?
Yeah, he produces Powell. Doesn't he? Isaac produces Powell,
So that'll be why.
In fact, we spoke to one of Powell on the show, didn't we?
Rotimi,
yes,
Rotimi
of course.
Powell, so Marcel is the winner.
You tricked us then. He's talking about Will Smith, like he was the one.
I was. Working brain.
I was writing Will Smith while she was doing it.
Will Smith actually started his YouTube channel quite late.
Yeah, he did.
Right. And to amass that many followers in such a short space of time, though, that's
incredible. Working hard, though.
So let's do this quiz again in like a year.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I reckon Will Smith would have.
Yeah, he would have overtaken him 100%.
100%. But thank you so much, Jermaine, for coming through to chat to us.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to us, play us your new music, and play games with us. Where can people find you on social media? And also just remind people where you're going to be live-wise, because obviously you've got a very special gig coming up.
Yes, I'm performing on my birthday at Quaglino's, and it's also doing a tour, the Orb Tour. But you can find me on Instagram, Jermaine Official. My mum made my name up, so the spelling is... difficult. I won't sit here and smell it, shall I?
No, do it.
J-A-H-M-E-N-E.
Nice.
Charming. For sure.
That's right.
So thank you once again so much to Jermaine Douglas.
Thank you.
We're going to get into some music right now. When we come back, we've still got 3 guests left to go. And we still got some stories as well, because I feel like we haven't really had a chat amongst ourselves for a while.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Just
it's me, but nothing feels real. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Hit me, I wanna just feel. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Dreams from a satellite beam. Oh yeah, oh yeah. No hope, you might as well scream. Oh no, oh no. There is nothing. Fade to black. End credits roll. Find the finale. Mindset now, sinkhole gatherings, black dye those jeans, my dear. There is nothing. Flickering light bulbs, wind from the east, whispers on the Twitter feed. More lies, more die.
That?
Ghost Poet, Concrete Pony.
I knew that, but I just wanted to hear you
yeah,
say
thank
it.
Thank you. No,
it's a great tune. Big
it's a great
selection.
Tune. I love Ghost Poet. It's amazing.
He's got some new music coming out on the horizon as well. More new music, should
yeah,
I say?
Because
that's
album.
This is
coming.
What was that?
He was on an album coming, and he actually was tweeting the other day, which I saw Jordan Stevens replying to, mm-hmm. where he was asking who, if he does go on tour, who should support him.
Mm.
I was thinking Tony and Joku.
Tony and Joku
would be
yeah.
a great support.
That
for
would
Ghost
be great.
Spirit.
Yes, I agree.
Mm. Well,
yes,
we've got our next guest in.
We do.
Yes, we do.
And we'll find out if he's a fan of Ghost Poet.
Yes.
And if
special.
He and if so, should he go on tour with Tony and Joku
to support him?
Yeah.
I
if he says yes,
do.
Then I think
that's
it's
done,
a,
isn't it? Yeah.
That's a done deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know Ghost Pony myself.
Ghost Pony.
Ghost Pony.
Did
you say,
yes.
What did you say?
I love this guy.
Ghost Poet.
Oh, Ghost Poet. Sorry, I just
no,
got in,
worry.
All right? It's the accents.
Okay, well, let's introduce our second guest.
Daniel Weber, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, all right.
The Ghost Pony.
No,
I love that.
Ghost I actually Pony. Really like that. He's called Ghost Poet, and the song was called Concrete Pony, which is why. But as a cover, a Ghost Pony.
Ghost Pony.
Actually sounds terrifying.
It
well,
does.
A Ghost Pony running around.
Yeah, what's
gosh.
The... Yeah,
something to
that would be my least one of my least favorite animals to see as a ghost. A
yeah, because
yeah,
it's gonna catch up
it's
to
big.
You.
It's quite. It's too big.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm quite scared of real horses.
Yeah.
Let alone posthumous appearances
right.
of horses.
You don't. You just hear it. It just appears. You hear it yeah. running towards you. No, I don't like it. I have nightmares.
It's very
that.
Scrooge-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd shit myself. what are you listening to at the moment, Daniel?
What am I listening to now? Mostly. Classical music. I've gotten into classical.
Nice.
So I'm a bit lame. I'm listening to like Bach and whatnot. Ludovico Einaudi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very contemporary.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Max Richter.
Probably the only one that's actually still alive, isn't he?
He is still alive, yeah.
Yeah.
And used a lot, actually. His music's used a lot
so.
In... it was used in this...
Otherwise, who
did
this?
Did you see?
Yeah. Who's in
life? Sort of type of poster him now.
He's a fake!
He was a pony! Now that I think of it...
I forgot to tell you, he's also a pony.
He is a pony, Ludovic. But now
no,
he's
he
a pony.
Still, and his film, his music's used a lot in TV. This Is England. You know,
yeah.
the TV. It was a very emotional scene, and that was used really effectively. His music. So I've seen him in quite a lot of films.
Hans yeah. Zimmer as well. Actually.
Hans
oh,
Zimmer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boss.
Oh man, I saw him at Coachella a few years ago. It was
wow,
brilliant.
Wow. Did you cry?
Oh wow.
Yeah, a couple of tears.
Yeah, I mean, I'd
imagine
so.
When you hear Lion King, they had the original guy come on, the guy who sung originally for Simba's. You know,
yeah.
I thought
you
were
going to
say Elton John. I was like,
oh. That's what we knew, man. Oh, yeah, that's the guy. That's
the guy. He came with a big glass in there. He was like, oh, I don't know his face.
He's the Cadlin with his. I recognise that voice from someone, you know. Yep. Wait, did he sing like it?
Yep, he's like, that was one of my hits. Yeah, like, I had a few others, but okay.
And what else are you listening to? Is it like sort of classical music pretty much taking up most of your music listening time?
At the moment, yeah. I kind of go through phases. Jazz, getting into jazz. Who else? Oh, I always hate this question. Always, no, as soon as somebody asks, you're like,
I know
who I like. Yeah. But Van Morrison was mm-hmm. this morning's mm-hmm. pick. You know, Astral Weeks. Yeah. Can't go wrong there.
And do you have specific kind of like genres that you listen to on set, on sort of within any sort of production?
Oh, that's a good question. No, it changes per like role, per film, per role. And generally, it's a bit wanky actor, but you know, you sort of curate a playlist specific to that character, and you know, you can sort of use
that to get into the vibes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're playing
people
so different.
Like, so what do you reckon? Like, you know, using your imaginations, then what do you reckon? Let's say Jim Carrey. What do you reckon would have been on his playlist to play Stanley Ipkiss in The Mask?
Oh gosh,
I think he was listening to probably like a lot of
that's
like
tripped out.
No, because his Stanley Ipkiss character was quite like down in his luck.
Yeah.
He was probably listening to like a lot of like deep emotional songs because he was feeling emotional. R-E-M. Yeah, R-E-M.
At that time, I reckon he probably
everybody hurts.
Everybody hurts.
Sometimes. On repeat. Just constantly on repeat. And he was like, I'm so sad. I'm so sad. And he literally played it so well.
But what's the next chapter? Like when he becomes the mask? Because it's going to be something else,
he's
right?
He's the music that was playing in
my name
in
is
the
Cuban
film,
Pete.
Yeah.
I'm the king of the
rumba. I reckon that's what he was banging.
He was banging it all the day. Just dancing around.
Happy. Yeah, 100%. He was probably doing the Charleston.
Maracas and all that kind of stuff just all the time.
And you know he was committed. He was doing that everywhere all day long. Earpods in. Yeah.
If you had to play Batman, what would you listen to?
Oh, Hans Zimmer. It's already made for you.
Yeah. Future Batman.
No, do you know, I'm not going to lie. There's sometimes when I'm in my car and I actually put on Hans Zimmer, the actual theme from the Batman, and I'm just driving.
Yeah. Everyone can do that. Yeah.
Does your driving to work become much more aggressive or intense?
What's that, Alfred? Yes, I'm on my way. You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. It's crazy.
Kiss from a Rose. Heroic all of a sudden.
Kiss from a Rose was a Batman song.
Oh. Yeah.
I reckon that's what Ben Affleck listened to when he was Batman. Yeah, I don't know why. I reckon for his Batman, he listened to that, and that's probably where
he just decided not to reinterpret the role. He went straight for.
I'm gonna be Seal.
Who was that?
Batman.
Was that George Clooney?
It was Clooney Batman.
That was Clooney. Yeah, but Ben Affleck, I reckon he still listened to to that song to be his Batman.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I can't do any better than Seal.
Clooney wasn't actually bad as Batman.
No, just the rest of the film was.
Yeah, I think the storyline was just terrible.
It was just bad.
What were you listening to though on the set of your new film out in cinemas, 6th of March, Escape from Pretoria there, Daniel?
Miriam McCabe.
Anybody?
Anybody?
Who's that?
So she's this brilliant African jazz musician. Mm. So basically all African music. A lot of you know, the film is about the apartheid and you know, two guys who stood up against it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of freedom songs, songs that were being created at the time. Recently I learned that Sugar Man has taken off.
I just watched
the documentary.
Yeah, I've got the book.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we spoke to the two guys that wrote the book. And actually went looking for
how brilliant
Sixto Rodriguez.
They wrote a book, and I think that's what the film's based on, isn't it?
Yeah. I think tracking him down.
It's
finally
incredible how that story, just one chance, it's almost defies kind of logic. Do you know what I mean? That just so organically one song would become so intrinsically linked to a movement.
Yeah, totally.
Of which I don't even think it was even written.
Well, because I think music became, you couldn't speak out against the system. Mm. You couldn't do it. You'd be arrested. You'd be thrown in jail. You'd be beaten. And so music was like a way that they could, you know, under the table, celebrate themselves, resist, defy. Mm.
Communicate in general.
Mm. And sort of give hope to one another. So yeah, so basically finding online all of these great songs and whatnot, and there's also great dancers that sort of are paired up with them. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah. So what drew you to the scripts, apart from obviously the sort of really extraordinary true story that it's based on? But what, yeah, what drew, what else?
Well, okay, so it was initially, it was you get sent a script. Francis wrote me a nice letter saying, you know, I'd love you to be a part of this film. Mm. Here's my script. Read the script. I loved the script. It was a very, very meticulous and very well written story. One of the best scripts I've read. And then there's a documentary online, so I watched that. I was like, okay, yeah, this could really work. I mean, the thing is, it almost doesn't matter if all of the, you know, it's a good story, a good director. You need to know that the director is good and knows what he's going to do. Because a good script is one thing. He's got to be able to pull it off. And so I had an amazing conversation that must have gone for like an hour and a half with Francis. His name's Francis Annan. And I had pages and pages of questions. And everything I asked him, he had an essay worth of answer that I felt stupid. You know, he was so, he clearly had knew the subject matter, what he was trying to say. He'd known Stephen and Tim for quite a while. I think he'd been attached for 8 years prior to this. And so for me, one of the biggest jump-off points was him. Just, I felt very assured that he was going to put together a really good story. Mm. And then when you look at it, it is a brilliant story about, you know, these two wonderful guys who actually stood up and did something in a time when, you know, well, they got 12 years for standing up against the regime and put in prison. So, you know, I think telling a story about equality and, you know, celebrating that and the triumph of the human spirit is something that you should always be telling if you can.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And what was it like to work with Daniel Radcliffe?
Amazing. So our two characters were friends. They were great mates. You sort of say like two peas in a pod. They were on the same wavelength. They started reading band material and sort of connected through this resistance movement and sort of eventually joined the ANC. And so the camaraderie and the friendship had to be built in. Well, it was on the page, and if you don't have it, you don't have a film.
Yeah.
And so it was really simple to create that. Sometimes you get this industry can have very challenging egos and personalities sometimes. But Dan, it was so simple and so easy, and he's such a down-to-earth, good person. And I think we also are similar in many ways. And so it was a very easy fit, and it was a very enjoyable set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he get a lot of people asking him to, like, perform spells?
I only made one Harry Potter joke while we were on set. And he just gave me this look. He didn't say anything. He just gave me this look. And I was like, all right.
Yeah. We're past that, Jess.
Yeah,
we're past that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's definitely not the most original joke that I could have come up with.
I wouldn't be able to help myself.
You just can't, yeah. I mean,
I honestly wouldn't. I'd actually genuinely think he was a magician. Because I've seen that. That's all I've seen.
It was kind of crazy. I remember the radio in Adelaide. They put out like a call in now if you've spotted Dan Radcliffe in Adelaide, and so people calling him, it's like, I got him here, he's here. it's like he gets it everywhere. It's kind of incredible.
He's gone though, isn't it? Like, those films are like legendary films.
Absolutely. Fair play, man. Fair play.
Yeah, fair play.
So the film is in cinemas from March the 6th 2020. Is there going to be a prem?
We just had it 2 nights ago.
Oh,
where was that?
Yeah, at Curzon.
Oh, yeah.
The Curzon Cinema.
Oh, yeah. So is that Soho?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yes, or it is Soho. Near Park Lane, is it Shaftesbury Avenue, right?
Yeah. Not quite Soho, I guess.
Ish. If you turn the corner, you're in Soho, I would say.
So. Shaftesbury Avenue, darling.
Shafts Ave.
That sounds a bit penile.
No one's calling it
Shafts Ave. That's Harley Street, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Harley Street. I don't think anyone's called it Shafts Ave before, and probably don't do it again.
Yeah, probably never again.
No.
So you've obviously seen the film in its full glory.
Yes.
What's your honest review?
I love it. I mean, it's like I said, it's an important film. So for a start, I like it purely for that reason. And then I think, you know, the reasons that I signed on, being partly Francis doing such a great job as a director, you know, he's put together a really tight, really great thriller. So it's yes, It's a very, very cool film, and I hope we can get as many people to go and see it, because it is a smaller sort of film, and so we're all hitting the pavement going, get in here, guys, ring that bell, let's get it, you know, bums on seats here.
Ah, definitely, that's one on the list, actually. Yeah. I've got a few on the list, but this has definitely been added. Pretoria, it's out from March the 6th, 2020.
Yep.
A couple of weeks, Escape from Pretoria. And it's also got Ian Hart in it as well, who I think you probably know from Harry Potter, but he's a great, from Liverpool,
he's
actor.
Amazing.
And he's done so many things. He's a brilliant actor as well.
He's so, like, effortlessly good.
Yes.
It was, like, doing scenes opposite him, you just... It feels so easy, so... I don't know, you're like, we're working with an actor here. proper actor.
Yeah. Fair play. Well, thank you so much for coming through to join us to talk to us about the film.
Absolute
Escape
pleasure.
From Pretoria. It is out March the 6th. Go see it nationwide, right?
Nationwide and in the US.
Awesome.
Same time, same day.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks, guys.
All right, we're going to get into another song when we come back. We still got two guests to go. The Fly Hooligans coming in next.
Hey, get a look in there. I'll throw drywall at your eyeball. It's because I'm a nice guy. Cut Beatles and cut your ass up.
I'll puncture your infrastructure. Blood drip off the knuckle duster. Dripping on a dead man, Uncle Fester. I'm tripping off the motion detector. Corroded emotion. Pharaoh soaked in ammonia. Cold cut club soda. Choke you with the Patagonia. Throw accordions at your cornea. Sample the Zodiac. Disappear in California. I'm coming for you. Dirty.
196.9. You know what the f*** it is? For those who don't, I'm near you, I'm far from you, and I'm right in between the middle of both fucking axes, if you can say it like that. Shut off the emblem in the night sky. It's a nice guy. Down at Dorco on the mic tonight. Quite right, son of Cool G rap. Trapped in the limelight. One eye golden monkey. Jamaican spice. Via satellite. Bitch, hey, another night. She does what I like. Suck me off while I write. Overseas sky price. Train ticket right. Bustin' Robocop. Gun ain't tight. Links. Cut Beatles. They're the winners. Can't forget Old Mac, Cali, Philly, Finland, the whole club.
Clear your ass out, jump and air your ass out. Jump, we cold.
Punch you up like Edward Scissorhands.
Some die by the punch, some die by the knife, some die by the
two turntables and a mic.
Some die by the
That's Cut Beatles and Nice Guys. We've cut your ass up. Cut your ass up.
Cut your ass up.
You got to say ass.
Your ass.
Ass.
You got to say yo. Cut your ass up.
Ass is better than ass, isn't it?
Ass. They mean two different. Well, no, they mean the same thing.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole.
Yeah, it's just.
So why do I say
English and English English, isn't it? British English.
You have to say it in American voice to sound good, because asshole doesn't sound good.
No, doesn't sound good as well. Sounds like you're comparing something
to a donkey.
Actually.
You're a donkey hole.
An ass. Oxen ass.
That would be a real insult. Shut up, you donkey hole. I don't think that's going to catch on.
No, no. Me neither.
I'll try. Anyway, luckily we do have an American in the studio. We've got our third guest of the day in the studio right now.
We do have our third guest of the day. He's not American, he's from London. He's the Fly Hooligan. Ladies and gentlemen. We give spirited rounds of applause. But it was a very good introduction you, though. Because, the music, the Cut Your Ass Up, it's very representative of the sort of style of hip-hop that you're putting out, man. It's very boom-bap. It's very golden age, luxurious. It's Nas in his prime, I'd say. That's the nearest thing I'd compare it to.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Very big statement on there.
Honestly, I like to... some people do it lazily, but I like to compare things if it's fitting and if I there's a for me a clear picture as to the kind of things that person respects when it comes to art. And I'm assuming that you're a big fan of Nas.
Top three of all time.
And there you go. Good guess. Right now you've got a new project out.
It's not a project. It's a single at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's building up to something which I cannot divulge just yet. But
how come?
Mystery.
I'm an action person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not.
Oh, you're not really coming soon. You're just
here. Yeah, it's not
here
coming
now.
Soon. It's gonna be here. Just like with the single was done ages ago.
Yeah.
But it was about timing for me, and also the people involved as well. It's about timing, my team as well. Everyone just had to agree with the timing and make sure everything just falls in place once everything is completely ready, you know? So, yeah, we're just more of an action squad, you know what I'm saying? Like we're more into like action and, oh, look out for this project, look out, I've got 900 million albums coming out, you know, like I'm not into that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We're just more into like, all right, this is what we got right now, this is what we're focusing on. And as soon as the next thing is ready to hit, we're going to get at you.
Fair play. And being a man of action, you met the producer that you worked with on this tune at a festival.
No, the other MC that features on this track, his name's Crime Apple, from New Jersey. We met, funny encounter with him though, is initially I put the word out to my representative in LA, who goes by Montage One, and you know, I just asked him to put some word around, see what, you know, Crime Apple is dealing with at the moment, in that time. Because I just finished working with Evidence on something as well. Mm-hmm. So, and I know with Evidence, he's very particular. If he's working on an album, he's not trying to do any features.
Right.
So just off the back of that, I thought, you know what, just find out, you know, what Crime Apple's on, blah, blah, blah. But long story short, it didn't happen at that time because there was like 4 or 5 people that went directly to him asking him the same question. And I didn't know anything about it. So when I eventually went to him, myself, I just thought it made me look kind of stupid. So I fell back instantly. But I knew I was going to meet him again at some point.
Right.
Fast forward to Hip Hop Kemp. We instantly knew who we were. Mm-hmm. And just connected, man. Hit it off straight away, you know. I went to check out his performance. He came to check out mine. I brought him on stage. Yeah, man. Like, definitely a lot of respect in that situation. Yeah.
And the tune's already born from this.
I said to him. He was just like off the back of us getting along. He was like, "Look, whenever you're ready, just let me know." Mm. So I was like, "Cool, I'm gonna let you know." I was expecting to even just pay him for the feature, but he was like, "Nah, like I don't even want nothing. Like we just it's a mutual respect. I love your craft. You like mine. Big. Let's make it happen. We share the same fan base." Let's go. Let's just connect these dots.
And nothing like the feeling of putting money you're about to spend back in your pocket.
You say that, but I use that money to make the video.
You know, there you go. You know what I mean? That's you put it back in your pocket. Obviously, you've got to bring it out eventually.
Yeah.
But
And I don't feel no way about it. I see it as an investment. You know,
of course.
I basically did something that no one else in my genre. Or with what I'm doing from the UK, you know, has done. And if they have done it, it's been a very long time since something like that has happened.
Yeah.
So you know, I saw a nice little gap there. And, you know, I think he's a dope artist. I think he's a great human being as well. And, I'm confident with what I do. So I don't see why not. Let's make it happen.
That's a glowing character reference. Yeah. Mm. I like that. It's not often you hear people talk about people that they've collaborated in such a positive way. Obviously, it's, you know, they're usually, they're super talented and blah, blah, blah. It was great to work with them. But, yeah, you can tell that you guys have struck up a really really deep friendship. Yeah. We should get into the song without further ado. Would you do us the honour of introducing it for us?
This is the track titled Fly Apple featuring Crime Apple and produced by the legendary Oh No.
Wow. See the chicken bones, black and mild filters.
Can you smell it?
Guess who? Wow. I
used to sell corn off the cordless. Now I'm turning down offers in the office. The metamorphosis. Your favorite rapper, a dipsy doodle, a wavy corn chip. Booby traps in the crib, I'm Macaulay Culkin. Your shorty soaking, I wouldn't let him milk me. I dropped off in the rain, bumping Millie Vanilli. My new bitch ditzy, thick as a 7-bean chili. All she do is smoke backwoods and bump Meek Millie. Each bar is a gram, you smoke a piece and fly. Reach the sky, XL turn 2X, cause I'm eating fine. Some wanna fuck up the plan and want a peace of mind. Chunk of brain fell in his hand, I call it peace of mind. My young bitch from Chinatown came to get some pipe. First she get busy in the kitchen, then we dim some lights. This is life, wedding cake and a chopper. Socialite on the vodka, you die on the track. Bobby Bevilacqua, Bill and Prada with Ricotta. They bump my shit in Uganda, and I won't diss you on a song, cause I'm just a cobbler. If the shoe fits, wear it. I leave your marriage looking scarce. Your parents be in hysterics when I'm airing shit out. Save the bandages. Far as this rap shit, it's unanimous. All my vinyl like Popeye sandwiches. From Lagos to Los Angeles, you smell the mild when I'm canvassing, making your bitch smile with the candles lit. Whoa.
Turn this head into confetti. Mind how you talk, hack you up with a machete. Gold round my neck, watch the chain reaction. Hoes on deck, pure satisfaction. I want a copper yard in Venice Beach. Swam Ben Kingsley and Sexy Beast. Rest in peace, got a choice. Life or late deceased, tax increase. Scoffer like you heard police. Boss shots, then I yell freeze. Shit's a breeze, niggas stink, need for breeze. Let it spray, fearless men hardly run. Always walk away, live to see another day. Money get a force, feed it hand into a glass blender. No retreat, no surrender. Volkswagen blue Jetta. Major plus just to get the cheddar. It's cream in this modern era. Flex a cotton blend, flannel shirt. Flirt with your shorty at the turf while I'm smoking burn. Yeah, it hurts. Cross the line or end up in a hearse. Spit a verse, 50 kilowatts. Call me killer hurts. Feeling hurt, lift your skirt, bitch made. Drop a Benz, white interior all suede. High grade, cause these bitches give migraines. Outrage, cause I wouldn't let them give me brain, yeah. Rather fuck Hannah Brooks bareback. So ill, chemotherapy was giving air back.
By the Fly Hooligan and Crime Apple. Lots of apples on there. Lots of juice.
Lots of juice.
Healthy as well. Healthy.
Very, 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 very. Juice is good for you. That's a big tune. That's a big tune. It's nice to hear so many punchlines. It's nice to hear such clarity in delivery, such good production, such well thought out samples. I'm sure that I'm assuming there was a sample in there.
Oh, most certainly.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's the hip hop I love, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it,
Natalie.
Yes.
Your time, my G.
Well, De Fly Hooligan, you've got a song called De Flyest. So I had a look at the Portuguese year chart, which is the obvious next step to do. Wow. Now, you'll have to tell me which one of these songs is de flyest, meaning de highest, in okay. the end of year charts, okay?
Bro,
Portuguese. Yeah. Well, I'm different year, so we're going to start. So there's five, and then there, as always, number one, two, three, four. Yeah, there is five, and then there's a bonus where winner takes all, okay? So let's start with the year of 2016. Con poderme ver, mujer, ¿qué vas a hacer? Decídete pa' ver. Don't listen to me, cause I'm sorry now.
Forever banger, you know?
I'm sure you know all of those songs, as I did. But if you didn't, they were Enrique Iglesias.
Oh, I didn't know the first one.
Wisin with Duele El Corazon, Justin Bieber with Sorry, and then Dua Lipa with Be The One. But which one was the highest at the Portuguese end of year chart for 2016? Enrique, Bieber, Lipa. Write them down. Don't show it to anybody. We all got something? Okay, we move to the year of 2008. It's too late to apologize. It's too late. Timbaland and One Republic. Apologise. Do we know? Does everyone know her? Brandy Carlisle. Well, I did know it's not because it's got Carlisle here. Which when I looked at, I thought
it's
that's
Brandy
Belinda
Carlisle. That song's from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, it's called The Story. I wasn't familiar with Brandy Carlisle.
I've never heard that story.
And then Madonna and Justin Timberlake, 4 minutes. So which one was the highest in Portugal at the end of the year of 2008?
Timberland produced that Justin Timberlake and Madonna tune as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely a Timberland production, you can tell.
Yeah, fully. It was fully Timberland.
So could he be a winner either way?
That's what I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a winner. Like.
He's a winner anyway, but was he a winner in the Portuguese chart in 2008 is the question.
I think he was.
Okay, we'll write it down.
He had two songs in it.
We now move to 2012.
Una sola caricia habrá.
Jeez.
Esto se acaba aquí, no hay manera ni forma.
Never mind, I find someone like you. So of course, Rihanna, where have you been? Pablo Alboran with Perdóname Me. That's how I'm going to say it. Adele, Someone Like You. Rihanna, Pablo, or Adele? You already know. You've got something for that, right?
Yeah, okay. I wrote it down already.
Are you really familiar with the Portuguese charts? Have you researched? Okay. It'd be amazing if you were like, well, I think actually I already know. Are we ready to move on to a different one?
Yeah, let's go.
This is 2009.
Is that Usher?
Neo.
Of course
that. Yeah. So, we had you two. You two with Get On Your Boots. Mm-hmm. Neo Mad, Beyonce Halo. But who was the top or the highest, I should say?
In Portugal.
In fact, I would say actually looking at this now, not just the highest, they all were at number one at the end of every person that was the highest in this was actually at number one
right.
for each question. Okay. Now we move to 2010.
I know you feel where I'm coming from. Regardless of the things in my past that I've done, most of it really was for the hell of the fun.
So, Alicia Keys, Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, Empire State of Mind, Jay-Z, Mr. Hudson, Young Forever, or B.O.B. featuring Bruno Mars, Nothing On You. But which one was number one in the end of year charts for Portugal for 2010?
That's a tough one. Still.
Tough. Have we all got something there? Can I take some answers? Fly, what do you have for number one? Who did you think in 2016 was the number one in the
charts? I did say Bieber still.
Bieber, okay. Marcel?
Enrique Iglesias.
What do you have, Michael Payne?
I said Biebs.
You should have said Enrique, I'm afraid.
You know what?
He was number one. Biebs got to five, and Dua Lipa was number 20.
Okay.
What did you have for 2008?
Madonna and JT.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
Madonna, what did you have?
Brandy Carlisle.
Correct, Marcel, you are right.
I've never even heard that fucking song.
No, I haven't either.
I'm not Portuguese, so...
But it was in
Grey's
Anatomy.
My girlfriend's Portuguese.
That's cheating.
She's just like, okay, you know, one day this is going to get asked, Marcel. Nah, so sit down, I'm going to give you a rundown of every single chart hit over the last
year,
decade
but, in Portugal.
But the reason I put Brandy Carlisle, because, like, I know that song from Grey's Anatomy, but for that song to be the only song that sounds like that in between those other two songs, I was like...
That's a good point.
All right, well, what do you think went higher? I mean, you are got a point there for myself, but what do you think went higher out of Apologise or 4 Minutes?
Just to guess. Apologise.
Yeah, it was number four, and then 4 Minutes was 13.
Mm.
So what about 2012? Who did you think it was that one? Adele, yeah.
Rihanna.
You had Rihanna, Marcel.
Pablo Arrabal.
Pablo, another point there for Marcel. It was Pablo. He went to number one. Rihanna went to number 42, and Adele was number 18. What about 2009?
Neo.
Beyonce.
Yep.
Yeah, Beyonce as well.
Yeah, points there, it's Beyonce.
I've not won a point.
No, you haven't. Beyonce was number one, U2 was 35, and Neo was 21. Now, 2010, what did you have there?
Bruno.
Not that it matters, but B.O.B.
You had B.O.B.
Alicia Keys and Jay-Z.
And what did you have?
I said Bruno and B.O.B.
Another point there for Marcel. It was Empire State of Mind. Jay-Z and Mr. Hudson.
Oh,
19, but B.O.B. was 12, which means...
Marcel, can I get my paper back now?
In third place with 0 points, it's Michael Payne. Second place is the Flag Hedigan with 1 point.
And insulting then
five. That's a first, though. I don't think you've ever got
what's
zero
happening?
On a
what's
game
that, what's happening,
this, I can still win, though. This is the you thing. Could,
yeah, it's because it's winner takes all now with the bonus. So write it down and show me so there's no cheating going
this
on
this is
here.
My end game.
Okay, you've been waiting for this. You deliberately threw it off. You knew it was Pablo the whole time. It's in 2014 now, okay? Sia, it was a big ballad year in 2014 in Portugal. Sia, Chandelier, John Legend, All of Me, Sam Smith, Stay With Me.
Sia.
Write it down, write it down. Doesn't have to be that one, but write it down. Sia, John Legend, Sam Smith.
You know what, like,
let me know when you got some answers.
There's a kind of music from Portugal called Kizomba.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of remixes of.
What have you got, Marcel,
songs
written down?
I can't,
okay, right. What do you have? Please tell me what you've got. You said Sia, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Incorrect. That was number 15. Wow. Sam Smith, Stay With Me was number 19. Marcel wins again. John Legend was there with All of Me.
Wow.
The Kizomba remix.
You have got on both games today, full 5 out of 5, and then both of the bonuses.
Yeah. Like, I think he might be cheating.
How could he?
I'm the best.
How many
around? How could he be there? Nothing's ever gonna keep me down. Can we get that like signed up just to play whenever I win a.
I reckon he's hooked up his printer to your computer.
I get the quizzes coming out in his house as well.
I get the games at home.
You got my emails. You got access to my emails.
Yeah, that all that.
I've hacked the food bomb.
Somehow, because 6 out of 6, that's unheard of.
That's almost too good.
I got zero,
suspicious,
for fuck's sake.
Which is, again, weirdly suspicious.
Really weird.
He's on his A game, isn't he? You can't knock a brother. Like,
I'm having a good day, yo.
Yeah,
you're having a bloody good day. Yeah, too good a day. Yeah, almost.
I feel like I might just make up top of my head another game to test you out with Mango. That you can't have possibly seen the answers to. Like a surprise game.
This is his thing. Trivial questions.
I'm going to go and get a ball. I'm going to bring my knock in here or something. We'll be here for Trivial Pursuit. I'm bringing some Scrabble.
I don't lose Monopoly.
Okay, I actually find it really boring. Okay.
Well, that being said, thank you so much to the Fly Hooligan for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
No, not at all. You chatted to us, you played us your music, and you played a game with us. But let people know where they can find you on social media and you know what you're going to be up to live wise for the rest of the year.
Well, Instagram and Twitter, you can find me at DAFLY Hooligan, all one word. Also on the Facebook as well, Lamari Esquire. You can find me on Bandcamp as well with Gourmet Deluxe, GourmetDeluxx.
Nice. Thank you once again so much to the Fly Hooligan. We've got a song to get into now. When we come back, we're going to be speaking to our final guest, Manga St. Hilaire.
Touch the beginning, animating animals and tree gods, scratching out legends in cave walls. The days poured down into night as we watched. We mapped stars and peaks, we fought beasts, we caught food for the feast, and we walked two abreast to receive the bound wheat. The grass was black and strange as we raised plains to ash. We laid claim, we exchanged grains, and we made pacts, and we clashed and we strained, and the rains lashed. The young maids were brave, but they were made to lay flat. The old ways were too ingrained to make the rain snap. So we laid the trap. We gave our names back to the saints. We sang out thanks and complaints. We burned fat, arranged bones in the flames. Each bird a great catch. Our songs were spells, and our spells were plain facts. She lay down in the road where the people go by, and she declared herself willing to try. I lay down beside her, but all I could see were the feet as they walked over me. That's when she told me I was holy elixir. She said, I thought I knew the world, but it was only a picture. She said, we're all written in the holiest scripture. It's just we're living in this time.
It says no inhibitions, get yours, keep going the distance, no limits, and don't bother protesting because nobody listens. Besides, all your solutions dissolve under scrutiny. You can't stand a note of derision. Instead, seek approval to justify your existence. Have opinions but have no resolve or conviction. Just keep your head down, breathe the fumes and indulge your addictions. Routine is healthy, ignore the affliction, the cost to the soul and the constant constriction. Don't consider too closely, have no intermission. Keep throbbing your fists in slow repetition. Most of us manage what makes you so different. What makes you so different, what makes you so. Now you see my bright spark, take the road with the pilgrims. Head for the temples of democracy, freedom, growth, reason, liberty, hope. But don't pay attention to what's hanging from the rope. Decode the language, unfold the symbols. Untold disciples got lost in the hillside. Following intellect, they let go of wisdom. Now they'll tell you the soul's a closed system. They sacrificed instinct to phony ambition. Now what they hold in their fists has become all that there is. But total existence needs meaning and myth. Many misjudged the way and got lost in the mist. She said, your loneliness is the symptom, not the sickness. And the moment her lips said peace, my peace melted. I became a memory. I felt myself peel. I was atoms. I was magnesium. I was calcium. I was real. She said, we are born of collision. We are divisions of a bigger vision, and yet we run around like hamsters spinning the wheel. 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 I was on my knees then. I was begging for pardon. I was old and I was clothed in white garments in a vast red desert where the rocks were dark blue and varnished. That's when the voice said, this is the garden. Now you better start sowing or there won't be a harvest.
That's Kate Tempest with Unholy Elixir. What's your unholy elixir of choice, Nat?
Unholy. So that would be, if it's unholy, it wouldn't be wine because they do serve that up in church, don't
they? That's a good point,
Nat. So it can't be
Nat.
That. It can't be that. Probably just a little.
But they don't serve white wine in church.
Just red.
Just red.
Oh, it's white wine then. It's just white wine. No rosé?
Rosé. That's your unholy elixir.
No. White wine, I think.
White wine. Marcel?
Rare Nephews.
Rare Nephew.
Oh, no, that's the strong one, isn't it?
That's a mad mountain.
Mine is Purdy's mixed with rum.
Oh, really?
What's, yeah. Is Purdy's a
Purdy's is genuinely
drink?
Actually an elixir.
It's vitamin drink, right?
Yeah.
What happens when you put it with just it's like
it makes you drunk.
Super health and healthy at the same time.
Yeah, drunk and healthy.
Wow, okay,
healthily drunk.
Good. Okay, so you could be like drunk but not hungover at the same time, and no after effects.
No, you're definitely going to be hungover.
Okay, I might try it. Purdy's.
Yeah, have you never had a bottle of Purdy's?
I have. I used to. I think Holland and Barrett only sell them now, don't they?
No, you can get them in.
No, you can get them there. But,
yeah. Can you? Because yeah, I do know when you go in Holland and Barrett, you see them in Holland.
But that's a payday drink, though.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Wealth.
It's a meal.
Yeah, you have to have wealth.
Wealth.
You can't be rich, can't be Baden, you've got to be wealthy.
Could just be a meal as well if it's not on payday. That's my dinner.
You're going to have to replace a meal for real. That other voice you hear, the fourth voice you hear in the studio, is my friend, collaborator, and the hardest working man in grime, easily.
I have to, I'm still poor. Oh yeah, me, hey.
What was your unholy elixir for you then?
I don't really drink probably anything with rum still. Mm. My dad makes me drink Sunset Rum. It's from St. Lucia and it's like 90
what's
something.
What's the percent? Okay,
it's stupid. Like,
yeah. It's over 100.
It's honestly, seriously silly. And so he takes a rum, on like birthdays or something, makes us all take a shot, everyone.
Fair.
And it's, yeah, spins
you up. I was gonna tell Jermaine earlier on, but he didn't really seem like the type of guy who wanted to hear that, that on one birthday, Exo Man, who's a past guest of ours and a friend of mine, made me drink, I can't remember how, I think it was 20, no, oh, he made me drink...
Whatever it is too much. When you said 20.
20, yeah. 20, 20
shots of
water.
No, it was a big number of shots. I can't remember how many it
of
was.
Of Ray?
No, it wasn't 20. It was a significant number.
Alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. Mate, I had to do it as well. I think it was like eight, maybe. Eight shots, yeah.
Okay.
And... But I had to do it before the last song in my set on my birthday.
Oh, nah.
Wow.
Nah.
Yeah.
So wait, you were performing while doing these shots?
Against the clock.
Nah. Bruv.
Nah. Because I backed the shots and then I just had to just get into the tune quickly before I got like fucked up in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you do it?
Did it. Nearly fell off the stage at the very end.
I can't drink when I perform. I've made
the mistake of doing that like too many times and I shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I always do for some reason to calm my nerves. But then I get more nervous because
I was gonna say, don't it work the way around?
It does.
I just like to be focused.
Yeah, I should just bun a zoot and get zen.
I get loose. Like if there's a rider there and there's drink on it, I'll be drinking before I go on.
But do you not think you're drinking out of nerves?
No, I just think I'm drinking just like, well, probably. But
a lot of time I realise like I'm drinking out of nerves. When I realise my hand's shaking.
I'm totally fine.
When I'm pouring the glass, when I'm pouring my drink like that, that's when I realise I'm doing this out of nerves.
It's time to go.
I don't get nervous when performing, you know. I'm alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
real. Do you not even get like a little, like just a little butterflies?
Nah, I don't.
Fair.
Nah, I don't like, I like performing. That's the only thing I like.
But the thing is, I do as well. I like
I hate recording. When I release music, I get shook.
Okay, that's when your nerves set in. That makes
hate
sense.
Hate it. Or go to studio.
It's because you're getting judged, isn't it? But like, when you're performing, people are there to see
you,
innit?
I know I'm going to be cool. I'm performing, I'm here.
Yeah.
Even if I'm being support, even if they're not, I'm pretty decent at that.
The psychology is completely different.
Yeah, releasing and that's like, oh, what do you lot think of this? I don't know. And it's like, I don't like it.
No, you're right. You're right, actually. The key thing is that people are there to see you when you're performing. You're absolutely right.
More time, innit?
Unless back in the day when you were doing like open mic at a youth club. I think that's how we became kind of like, that's how you get tough, man. That's character building.
You get confidence by doing stuff like
100%.
That.
100%.
Especially when you're not the guy. Like when you work, like you're doing support or you're doing
in the
open
next, you're in the youth club in the next end.
Yeah, you're
the
summer.
It's not your end. And so you're still bad enough, man. That, I think that is really, really character building. And that is why the kind of cuts, the cuts to youth services are the most damaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
Genuinely. Like, without them, the people don't really have as much of a reason to kind of fraternise.
It's no interaction, that's all it is.
That's what it...
But you know what, to be fair, if there was youth clubs, they'd probably be insane right now. The youth would be getting mad in there.
Yeah.
Like, I see it as a... Because even when I was growing up here, the youth club, all that, whoever had beef with whoever, they'd roll up to the youth club.
Yeah, true, but then if they didn't roll up to the youth club, they'd roll up to your school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. That's what I'm trying to say. So it's the same similar thing. Like, it could kind of be like a central point for badness, but the interaction of, like, you know, talking to other people from... Yeah. That's the difference. I knew so many people from different ends because you came to the youth club.
Exactly.
So some things are fizzled down, but obviously inevitable. Some people are not going to get along, but overall,
but
again,
like you said, though, that's inevitable.
But it happens with adults as well, like, you know what I mean?
This is the thing that happens in the pub. That's the adult youth club.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
The pub is the adult youth club.
But learning from a young age, you don't really get a chance to really do the social thing like how you would as an adult.
That's
you know
enough
I mean?
True, you know. It's true.
That's it.
Well, music.
Yeah. We survived from the youth club then.
It. It's always, there's never a very long gap between your projects, is there? You've already, since the tail end of last year, you dropped a collaborative project with Murkage Dave. And you've dropped, how many singles is it since then?
Three.
Go on.
Yeah.
That's mental.
I need the stream money. I do.
That's the motive though, man.
But your whole it isn't just streams of you. You've built up a really clear cut tribe. Do you know what I mean? I see how much...
That's what I'm trying to do. Like, just people that like my thing. Not everyone.
Yeah.
Not really the middle ground thing. See, like, I always say, I can't be new, innit? Man's been out here for so many years.
Yeah.
So I can't get, like, new... I can't get new youths excited, but it's always going to be a trend of people who they like now and whatever. And obviously, it's their time and they should get that. But I realise, obviously, the longevity is in...
building people that just like your thing. Yeah. So I know people that don't really like grime or don't really like whatever, but they listen to my thing or they come to my shows alone. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, this is the in thing, so we're all going down there. They'll roll up with them. They like it, they roll up. Yeah. So I'm just trying to build that everywhere, make that bigger, and then just keep moving.
You've always had that mindset, though, innit, to kind of get in where you fit in, haven't you? Even from your origins in Roll Deep, wasn't it just a case of, you know, because like there's so many stories out there, but wasn't it just a chance kind of conversation with Wiley?
Yeah, the initial one was just random. Yeah, initial one was random, and then he done the thing. Oh, I'll help you out, man. I'll give you call you. But obviously, this is like 2004, something like that.
Yeah.
So it might be three or four. And he was like, yeah, yeah. But then anyway, he called me, heard my voice. He heard me spitting at my voicemail, told me to come studio. And then it was from there. And then even how I stayed in Roll Deep, because I was on When I'm Here. But then again, I was just in the studio.
Yeah.
But it wasn't When I'm Here at the time, obviously. But then we done the label picked that to be a video.
Yeah.
So really, I was a face. That's
possibly the most top three most iconic grime tunes of all, grime videos of all time.
Yeah, the video.
Grime tunes of all time. Video specifically, that I Love You.
Yeah, I Love You video. And I remember seeing that thinking, whoa.
I Can See You by Titch. I think that's an iconic grime video. With the Mastiff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything
for real,
about
for real.
That was
for real.
I'm trying to think of other ones, but like for me, right about now, it's I Can See You, When I'm Here, and I Love You.
Yeah, because everyone's always talking about the Nike tracksuit. I didn't even get to keep
it. Mate, I can't. What? You didn't get to keep the tracksuit.
No, I'm lying. Sorry, I did get to keep it, but it was too big. It was like double XL. But I was such a sad man.
That was the thing, though. Was the thing.
But I was such a sad man in the thing. Like I said, when I joined Roll Deep, I wasn't. I'm not from the East, innit? I'm not from where they're from.
Northwest, innit?
Yeah. And it was just Wiley. Wiley just said, I like this, you, and then whatever.
Yeah.
So when it come down to like all the they had management, and I didn't even know all this, I'm just young, innit?
Mm.
So they was, you know, sorting out the video and that. They didn't even give me a thought, bruv. I had a double XL jumper, an XL jumper, and like, I was little. And I said, keep that. And I had no, but it was mad. It was such a sad man at that time. But I was just excited.
No, 100%. And that's a piece of history, though, man.
No, yeah, for real, man.
You know what I mean?
I understand it now, because I was young at the time. So I didn't really take in. And I didn't have cable or nothing, so I didn't see how much the video was beating on TV.
Yeah.
So when I was going out on the road and getting in beef, and man were like, oh yeah, you're that. I'm like, bruv, allow it. What am I? Do you know what I mean? Because I'm separate. Remember, they're all of course together, and I'm just on somewhere else, and everyone's, I'm the target now, innit? And I'm famous, and gala liking me or whatever. I'm like, bruv, is it like that? And then, I didn't really understand until I got older, and I'm speaking to people like my age now, and I realized, oh, I grew up on that song and that video. I got that tracksuit. I mean, my mum get it. I was like, yeah? I didn't even get one, so sick. Good for you. Told your mum to buy me one, man. I need to buy one now, actually.
But you've kept up that real kind of individual creative spark. I think one of my favourite videos last year was your influencer.
Oh yeah,
video.
Yeah.
Have either of you seen that video? It's all about the Instagram feed.
Yeah,
and it's incredible.
The song's called Influencer. And
that's it. Influencer.
But the whole video is a vertical video. It's like a scrolling through Instagram. Yeah. You know, I'm gifting stuff, which you can send me stuff. Anyone asking, I'm saying, and ad space and that type of thing. It was just a joke that I was trying to bust off, because really I was just trying to get some free things. I think I was getting free things, and then someone said, "Oh, you're like an influencer," so I just started taking the piss of it. I mean, but it's
has become a bit of a rude word, hasn't it, to call someone
influencer? Well, what has become a thing? I don't hate it, actually. Is there's a number of companies now, you know, influencers. Often get in touch with people and say, you know, I want to, like, for instance, I want to come stay at your hotel or whatever.
Oh, that's rude.
And there was a guy the other week who wanted to get some free tyres for his car, and then the guy was like, well, the company went, well, actually, you've just got to book it. And he went, do you not, like, basically, how dare you? I was going to put you on my Instagram page and get you some publicity for that.
Mad.
And he's like,
I know, people are mad now.
But
they're
not. What I quite like was the companies are now kind of releasing it and going public, going, this person is just trying to take the piss and come here for a free holiday or a free hotel or free tires and stuff.
Free tires.
I know, right? How much do you need your free tires?
I know. Just do donuts in a car park on your Instagram.
It's furious, that guy. It was like, I could have made you a star through my Instagram page.
I know. Who's going to care about that? But send me free trainers, exactly. Everyone.
Anything particular that you need?
Who's going to buy your tires now, Michelin?
Yeah.
I know, literally
everyone. Yeah, man. But yeah, that video, I'm happy. Just shot it in my front room, man. Yeah, most of them, man, just try to do, I edit most of them. Just do it myself and see what I go on. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that was genuinely one of my favourite videos of 2019.
Thank you.
But talk to us about the latest release.
Which one? I got a new video that came out today. That's why I also forgot. I nearly missed the show. called At All Times, featuring Izzy Gibbs. That just came out about a couple of hours ago.
Yes. I saw some chatter about that online over the last few days.
They uploaded the video wrong the other day.
Really?
On Friday. So okay. it just jumped online today. I was like, sick. That's great. So yeah, it's been a mad day. But that's out now at all times.
Looking
that's on
forward
streaming.
To seeing that.
And Don't Hold Your Breath was a single before.
Yep,
that's beating off now. Yeah, man, everything's going all right. You know, I'm just trying to just keep it moving, brother, and see what's going on.
Yeah, can we see you anywhere live this year as well?
Nah, man, nope.
No?
No.
You gonna...
Nope. Staying in my house.
How come?
Because I ain't got no bookings.
Well, no headline show?
Nope, not doing it.
Nothing?
Nah.
Elusive.
No, I'm joking. I am.
You're changing.
This guy was like, yo, man, I love performing. And he's like, yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Nah. What I'm saying is, I ain't got a booking agent in it. So I ain't on none of the festivals coming up. But I will do my show. I'm going to do my, you know, I usually do like a headline show or a tour.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'll do that probably like September times. Because project's coming out April.
That's what your fans will have come to expect, even if you're not on the.
I know, they don't really care about that. They'll come out to the show, man.
This is the thing, yeah. Not everyone is on the festival bookings, you know. But then if you can take matters into your own hands and do a headline show, why not? Especially an artist
who has
been doing this for years.
It's not even that hard, man. I don't see why people don't do it more. I understand you want to do the thing, but just book a venue, bruv, and tell your people, and then you're good. Like, I've done about 4 or 5 now, and I've done a tour last year, like four or five cities. I just done it myself, brother. I even rented a car myself. I drove, picked me and Maxto and Kirby, and just rolled up.
Yeah,
and it was calm.
You toured with the Asteroid Boys when they were a thing.
Yeah, when they were active.
Yeah,
yeah. They taught me a lot, man, of just doing it yourself, bro, because they was doing everywhere.
They had
numbers on Instagram and Twitter, and they had less numbers than me. But all their shows are sold out and they're selling merch. I said, rah.
Yeah, they do shit in real life.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, this is what I might need to adopt and do that. Do you know what I mean? Because I see them doing it, so I'm just going to do the same. But no one in from Graham does that. I was doing that for years, like waiting and this, like putting out videos and doing these things, waiting to get put on, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought, nah, bruv, but now I'm just going to do my thing, and then whoever likes it, come with me, and whoever don't, go over that side.
Yeah.
And then people rolled up and it grew.
Absolutely. I think that's why it's so important to kind of to fraternize with people of other genres, because Asteroid Boys, for me, I would have called them, you know, like a punk band.
Yeah, they're a punk band.
Or a metal band or whatever.
Yeah,
there are certain parallels between them and grime. It's the angst and all that. But there are also certain things that there's a stark contrast between the genres. Like you said, touring isn't a thing that grime MCs traditionally think about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Radio,
they don't think about
touring.
You do things like that. You do a club, you do a tune, and you do a video. You don't think about touring.
But you need to go and tour. Because like
absolutely.
I said, but when I was doing it with them, man, like when I first started doing the shows with them, right, ages ago, like 2013, like obviously it's a punk audience, innit? They definitely didn't care about me. I'm doing my normal grand tunes. They're like, bruv, yeah, I don't know about that. Then it'll be like two people with, like, oh, that's decent. And then as the time went on, they'd come round to it. Obviously it's the same vibe, it's energy, it's,
exactly.
you know, speaking your truth, all them thing there. And then, by the end, when they like broke up, that was 2018?
Something like that.
There was, if they were announcing shows, if they weren't having me as support, there were people tweeting them getting mad. I was like, oh. And a lot of people that follow me is from that.
Absolutely.
And with like other people like The Bug as well. And
yeah.
like people
of course,
outside.
Of you toured extensively.
Yeah.
So how did that come about, actually?
Because
I saw you in Japan and those far reaches.
Bug worked with Flodan a lot. Obviously Flodan's Flo D,
of course.
And his studio was opposite. Like, so see here the window, his studio was just across the road.
Right.
And I see Flodan every minute. Oh, I'm going Thailand, I'm in Mexico. I'm like, wow, what's going on here? What, how can I get in on this?
Yeah.
I mean?
But then, I feel because I've never been further than America, I think, yeah. I feel like there's nothing past it. I feel like people felt when they thought the world was flat and that you drop off the end. I'm like, everything that I see is like either a photo, which I think you could have edited that, because I've never been that far, and I feel shit about it.
Nah, there's a lot, bro. Like Flodan was in India the other day. I've done Canada, America, China, Australia, everywhere. Mm. I can't everywhere in Europe, places I've never heard of, like everywhere, India. Loads of places, man. But yeah, so I done a tune with The Bug, and it was a single on his album, and then we just bare touring off that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good as well. And again, the different crowd, different people.
Yeah.
But with grime elements, so it was sick.
did it come as quite a surprise kind of getting asked? Like, you know, did you kind of do the tune thinking, oh, it's just going to be a tune, and then become quite surprised when you were getting asked to come to places like Thailand?
Not really, like, no. See, like, with Buck, he likes Grammy. He understands the thing. He's like, he knew about the thing from before. And then Flow Dance tune, Skeng with Killer P.
Of course. It,
obviously, they're both roadie, and that's a big tune on that thing. So I was more, I was surprised that they picked it for a single. Because that's the thing. Could have just been a tune on the album, but they picked it. But again, I'm good at performing. I like it. And he knew that. So once we started doing a few, it just helped. And I've got like a clean visa and that. So I'm calm. I ain't got no crime on me. So I can go most places. So I'm all right.
Yeah. Fair play.
Yeah.
I can't go to America now.
Is it?
I'm Nigerian.
Oh, yeah, they got you out of
that. Is that a real thing?
It's actually on the
But we're on the thingy list now.
Yeah, it's a real thing. You've done it the other day.
Can't get citizenship.
Yeah.
Can't immigrate there.
Yeah, it's a real
thing. I'm joking, I can, because I've got a British passport. Right. But if I get a Nigerian passport, because I can, I'm eligible for one. Then,
dude, that's why you should be St. Lucian. They don't even worry about us. Come through, bro.
St. Lucian's at the back.
Yeah, get him through, bro. What's that? There's not even a powerhouse enough for them to worry about.
Because Trump would go, "Is that a made up place?" He would never have heard of it. You know,
true.
Trump would be like, "Where is
Trump
it?"
Trump would say, and he's a wasp, isn't he? So he'd be like, "Oh, I'm a good Christian guy." Oh, so right, Saint Lucian? Yeah. They must be good.
It's true, you know. Slash true.
Stick a saint in front of any country. Saint Nigeria? Yeah, come on. They're not like those Nigerians.
How about Saint Helair?
There you go.
Yes.
I'm on fire, though. I'm on fire.
You don't get invited to the White House. If Trump invited you to the White House, would you go?
Nah.
Would you not go?
Nah,
I'd go. I'm not gonna lie to you.
To what?
Oh no! I just want to see inside.
I'm not really a big fan of America, to be fair. I think it's a mad weird place, though.
Yeah, so do I. Place. It's super weird.
Like, when I've gone there, it's like I feel uneasy.
Yeah, I went to San Francisco last year, and literally walking down the street, I was just like, nah, I don't want to be. Like,
damn, if you feel tense in Frisco, boy, you must hate it.
No, but San Francisco is weird, you know.
Yeah, it's like it's bare homeless people, but like they're all like cracked out and they're all thinking and like it's like a one street. And I was walking down, and I was like, this is the worst street I've ever been down in my life. It's just every side.
And there's so much wealth in that same place in San Francisco as well.
You go up the road and it's literally plush. All the big buildings and all that kind of stuff. And you're like,
that fire and
how is that like that? Like, it's mad.
But it's other places. I found that when I went to Canada as well. I was like, how can there be that? Montreal, I found that.
Montreal's horrible.
Absolutely shocked by the homeless people. Right, but then like really expensive places.
Is that the French one, Montreal?
Yeah, the French
speaking. Hated it. Mad rude. Did you? Hated it. They're so rude and they were speaking French. And I was trying to speak French.
You know they speak English as well, but
yeah, but they were like, trying. I was trying to get on my nerves. But then I went to Vancouver and it was sick.
Oh, see, I went to Toronto. No, I meant they do speak English, but they chose not to with me because they were like, no English. I'm like, no, I know that in Montreal how to speak English.
That's what they were doing to me.
You're
too.
You're not in France, okay?
Yeah, so allow me. Yeah. And it was mental. Rude.
Yeah, well,
I sat next to someone at this Bobby Abley London Fashion Week show yesterday, and she was telling me that the head office was based in Reading. And I thought that she just worked there, innit? So I was just like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man. Reading's so fucking shit.
She's from Reading.
And she was
isn't
like, yeah, well, I was kind of born there and I've lived there all my life.
Reading's all right, though. But
and then
the
this is the wickedest
stick.
Thing. Straight after, when she said that, I was like, actually, the two times that I've actually been to Reading, I've had like a sick time.
Yes, it's got
towns. So 100% of the times I've been to Reading, but I just sat there, just going to your birthplace is a shithole.
Have you been there for the festival, or was it for other?
Aside from the festival, I've been there like twice to two different pubs in Reading, and they were both really good nights.
Man just went out there for the pub.
I was going to say, like, what type of that's decent. I went to the pub.
It's a good pub if you have to travel to Reading.
You're going
to
start culture anyway. I reckon go to a pub.
You had enough of all the pubs in London. Let me go to Reading for go to a pub.
100%.
I hear that.
We haven't played a song though.
We haven't. We're going to play at the end of the show.
We're going to play at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Who should we be looking out for? Who are you listening to at the moment now?
No one really. It's just my thing. I am. I'm not letting a thing wait. Oh no! What in Graham? Like, there's loads of people, man.
Not just in general. I mean, because we've spoken about kind of you've obviously got quite an eclectic taste in music. Judging by the people that you work with. You know, like you're very tight with, say, Murkage Dave.
Yeah.
Very tight with the Asteroid Boys.
Yeah.
You know, the Bug. And so you can tell that you have an eclectic understanding of music.
Yeah,
so
I just like people that ain't. I just like people that ain't pricks, man. That's cool. You know what I mean? That's my main thing. Like, if you're cool, like, so big. Yeah, Asteroid Boys, Bug,
You got Jay Gray, you got Snowy, you got Izzy Gibbs. You got
Jay Gray is another one because you worked with her early doors.
That's
it?
My G man. That's my family man.
And she's bussing. She supported
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish on a was it the European leg of her tour?
Yeah, yeah.
So she was doing stadiums.
Yeah, and as she should be. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, I'm happy for that, man. It's like it's loads of people, man. I'll just even yourself, man. You helped me out. One outburst.
Oh wow, yeah, we've worked together twice, haven't we?
Yeah, you done my my intro,
Winter Silver remix.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With Louis B.
Yeah.
And then the intro to...
Yeah, you smashed that, bro.
Thanks, mate.
And I got something to tell you. When you was recording that, I was very broke. And then you was...
Where did we record that? We recorded that around the corner from my yard, didn't it?
But you never wrote anything. So you was writing it there, and I was counting about the hour. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's fine. I've got to write it. I was like, yeah. How long would that take?
Oh shit.
And obviously you wrote it and you said it all in the thing. I think because see me, I take long in the studio, innit? Yeah. So I write everything before and go.
Oh. Okay.
And you like, I'll just write it, man. It's fine. I was like, yeah.
I took long enough for it to be mixing a tune by now, bro. Long enough for you to do maths.
Morpheus was doing a clock like this. I was like, mm-hmm. But the song, it came out amazing, man. It came out exactly how I had it in my head. Actually, that was perfect. And then the project done really well. That's the one that really set me apart solo, like as a solo person.
Yeah, because didn't you? Was your first headline show from not that, directly after that?
Yeah, that's the first show I'd done by myself. Obviously, I've done so much with Roll Deep, so much with other people, like so much with other. But that was my first. All right, this is my show. Yeah, work one, and it was mad. It was amazing.
Yeah,
I cried twice. It was sick.
For real.
Sick.
And who do you look up to performing wise? Is there anyone that you kind of irrespective of the genre?
I don't know, like,
because I think when I first started performing live, I looked to people to see how they acted on stage and what, not necessarily the movements they made, but what they chose to kind of do. Do you know what I mean?
You know who you know what's mad? The people that I watched is like Asteroid Boys is the most, I think, because I saw it close up. Like, in terms of like grime performances, like, most men are mad rubbish. Like, they're just pants. They just spit, you know what I'm saying? And I hear that. But because I do hosting with Target as well, I got used to speaking to different crowds that are not there for me. Yeah. Again, I'm always used to them not being there for me.
Yeah.
Not in that sounds pitiful, but
no,
you know
no, I
mean?
I know exactly.
Yeah, so I have to always adjust and understand who I'm speaking to. But when most grime MCs, they think they're just talking to a pure grime crowd.
That's true.
So they're just spitting. And obviously it's cool for 4 minutes, but afterwards it's like, where's the performance aspect in it?
Yeah.
So
more interaction.
So when I went on tour with Asteroid Boys for like all these years, we went Germany, we went bare places. I was always speaking to crowds that weren't there for me. So I'm looking around and I'm thinking, all right, cool. So that helped me improve how to perform a lot.
Fair.
And that mixed with doing the hosting with Target. So I was never scared to speak to a crowd. And like I said, I'm quite lucky. I've done Glastonbury. I've done Wild. I've done everything, man. Like, in terms of like between Roll Deep and Target and everything. And then now I'm not really scared of performing. I like it. So really it was just people around me and just going for things in terms of looking up to. Just getting better. Because most people ain't really that good at performing, but they're better at me at other things, like they get up here on time and that. So.
Well, speaking of being on time, we've got to get out of here on time. Yeah, so we're going to get into the very last tune of the day, and we'd love it if you'd introduce it for us, Mamba.
Okay, and this one's called Don't Hold Your Breath. It's the title of the song, not an instruction. So listen to it and stream it, and that's so I can pay my council
tax. Thank you for coming in.
Bye. Thank you so much, and we're all our guests. We'll see you next week.
This all sauce and tech. Been hard from early like morning sex. I dead beats like boring sex. Alive and kicking like morning breath. When I'm talking straight. No if, baby, or sort of said.
Nah.
You think I won't burn your bridge? Say less like an awkward friend. Food for thought, fill your belly, the portion's dense.
Nah.
Don't call me bro, that can run like I broke my leg.
Nine.
You all pretend, telling lies, I won't fall for them. Every year, I'm always here, like your supportive friend. You know my ting set, always danger when I'm on set. All I know is corn and quest. Ain't talking set times when I'm on next. Doing a mad ting, but I can match it. Just like camping, I'm more intense. Working hard so I leave my mark. Leave them all impressed. All I say no more, that's all I said. Get back up if I fall again. With my dogs, I ain't forcing friends. If you go, stay gone. Don't come round and act cool again. Wishing I disappeared, maybe soon, but don't hold your.
outsider, born and bred. It's like they get bored and bred. Your new one is like your last one. I thought you re-recorded again.
Same thing.
Gassed up the thing online. I heard your vibe, I got bored instead.
Sure.
I'm so confused. Man, get rich off these poor attempts.
Okay.
So let me talk it then.
Yeah.
It's peas when you call my phone. Different type of call and collect. Still going like your boring friend.
Man.
Every rhythm is a bop, like I got one shorter leg.
Nah.
Every rhythm is a bop, like I took a long walk off ends.
Man.